Now, there's something of a row opening up over a sign which is above the door of the Sinn Féin MLA Chris Hazard's constituency office in Castlewellan. Now, the office has been indeed named the McNulty McGorian Advice Centre after two members of the IRA, Peter McNulty and Paul McGorian, and this has caused outrage indeed from unionist politicians and from victims' families over the office of the MP for South Down. I should say, Chris Hazard. Sammy Heenan is on the line. Sammy, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I am very well, Sammy. You have every right to be interested in this naming above the door of your MP's office. And I say that because you're a victim of the IRA.
That is correct, Frank. On the 3rd of May 1985, about 5 miles north of Castlewellan, the Provisional IRA came into my home. And forced my father to his knees and shot him once in the top of the head and once in the back of the head, point-blank range. I witnessed the gunman drive off, and at this stage, as I was looking out the window, I could feel a real sickness, fear and ease coming over me that something wasn't right. I was only 12 years old. And I watched the gunman drive off. I made my way out of the home at this stage, hoping my daddy would come around the corner and give me an explanation. Instead of that, I witnessed a pool of blood, and I followed the trail of blood around the side of our barn, and I found my father lying murdered. At that point, I had to run half a mile to the nearest neighbour's house to raise an alarm. It was only my father and I at home because my mother had died 3 years previous and my grandmother 4 months before that. So I was home alone with them when they died, and also now then, obviously, I was an only child. And I was absolutely devastated to lose my father under such brutal circumstances.
Do you understand why your father was targeted? Was there a reason given? Was he a member of the security forces?
No, my father was not a member of the security forces. My father was an ordinary Protestant man. He was a member of the Loyal Orders. I suppose it's fair to say he was a staunch unionist, but he got on extremely well with all his neighbours. And he had great respect from all sides within the community. I feel it was just, obviously, stated that my father was a part-time member of the RUC reserve, but he wasn't. So one can only conclude it was just a pure sectarian killing.
You must have found it incredibly hard to come to terms with that, Sammy, being left literally an orphan at 12 years of age.
It was extremely difficult for me, Frank, growing up. Obviously, the role model of my father was gone. My mother obviously had died 3 years previous, so I was pretty much left on my own. I had to go and live with relatives then in Castlewellan at that time, who were very good to me and gave me a home until I was 21 years old when I moved out, and then I set up home with my wife. So life was tough, life was difficult, but my father taught me to respect everyone in the community, and that's what I've done, and I have not let, obviously someone like me was susceptible to malignant forces in my life, but I did not go down that path because I could not have committed an act of depravity on others that was committed on my father.
You, most of the time since that, not all of the time, but most of the time you've had a nationalist MP and in more recent times a Republican MP. How do you feel about Chris Hazard's decision to put the names of McNulty and McGorian above the door and call it the McNulty McGorian Advice Centre?
Well, I have to say recently, he's not an MP, he's an abstentionist MP. And like many victims across the constituency, there's upwards of 70 victims across the constituency, rightly disgusted and appalled this sign could continue to be there. Chris Hazard talked about reaching out to hand to all across the community. Well, it's not a very comfortable and welcoming environment for any unionist who would dare go into his office. Chris Hazard and the Sinn Féin movement talked about the buzzwords of equality, respect and integrity. Well, he is not affording that to the minority and vulnerable Protestant community in the Castlewellan locality that suffered extensively as a result of 30 years of depravity perpetrated by IRA terrorists in that town.
I feel feeble even asking you this question, but it'll be one of the questions that people will be shouting at the radio, and it's a question that's probably more relevant to Jim Wells, who I'm going to be speaking to in a moment. And you know, I don't expect you to even understand me asking it because you were left an orphan at the hands of the IRA. But the question is, do you in any way understand how Peter McNulty and Paul McGorian would be seen in the Castlewellan community as people to be looked up to, people to be respected?
Absolutely not. These were terrorists who were playing their evil around that locality, and there was nothing justified the taking of one human life within Northern Ireland. Chris Hazard has been instrumental in demanding truth and transparency in respect of the terrible atrocity of Loughan Island. So the people who perpetrated that act are no different than the Peter McNulty's and the Paul McGorians of this world. And sadly, a few Fridays ago, Chris Hazard and Mary Lou McDonald stood in a busy shopping Friday afternoon in the middle of Castlewellan, eulogising and glorifying the deeds of those people like Peter McNulty.
Sammy, I appreciate you coming on the programme this morning, and I know people will be saying that I'm not grilling you, but you're not here to be grilled. You're here to speak as a victim.
Yes.
And
yes,
we invited Sinn Féin to come on the programme, and as yet they haven't accepted the invitation. But thank you for speaking to us this morning, Sammy. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. Sammy Heenan, who lost his father to the IRA in the Castlewellan area. Jim Wells is one of the local representatives. He's an MLA for South Down for long and many's a day with the DUP. Jim Wells, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
I did put to Sammy there, did he in any way understand why Peter McNulty and Paul McGorian would be held in high esteem in Republican circles in the Castlewellan area? And the reason I ask that question is very simple. It is because they are held in high esteem in Republican circles in that part of County Down. Peter McNulty, who was attempting to bomb Castlewellan police station and who was killed with his own bomb. Over 2,000 people attended his funeral. And Paul McGorian was, if we listen to the song that is a tribute to Paul McGorian, the people in that area clearly believe he was ambushed and shot dead by the British Army. They are seen as victims of the Troubles, victims of what would be described in the Castlewellan area by some people as victims of the war.
Well, Frank, could I say that it's very difficult to add to what Sammy has said. I first met Sammy the day that his father was brutally murdered. I was the MLA for the area at the time in 1985, and I've known Sammy ever since. And really, anything that I say will sound quite pathetic after Sammy's wonderful contribution to your programme. But could I say, no, I don't see how these people are glorified, because both of them died on what was called active service. Both of them are on the IRA memorial in Castlewellan. And both of them had been out to murder and to maim. McNulty was blown up trying to kill the officers in Castlewellan RUC station at the time. And to glorify these individuals is simply to try to say that what they did was right. And it wasn't. It was murder. It was ghastly. And 70 people are in their graves in South Down as we speak as a result of their activities. Now, it's one thing commemorating your dead. It's another one thing to name your MP's advice office after the two terrorists. Now, Hazard, when he was elected the MP, unfortunately, in June 2017, made a commitment that he would serve all the people of South Down because it was a very split vote. Now, how would any self-respecting non-Republican feel comfortable going into an office that is branded in memory of two dead terrorists? It's a total anathema to ordinary, decent people, both Catholic and Protestant. And not only that, Mary Lou McDonald, the newly elected leader of Sinn Féin, actually came up to Castlewellan to open the office, which even adds further to the insult. This is utterly indefensible. And secondly, it's funded by the taxpayer to make matters even worse. And I've reported Hazard both to the Assembly and to the Commissioner for Standards in Westminster. It's you and I who are paying for this.
But Jim, you say how would people be comfortable going in? And those who are listening will understand what you're saying, but how are people comfortable going to, say, the Reverend William McCrae, who sat on a platform with Billy Wright in the public gaze of the television cameras? How are people comfortable, or how would they have been comfortable going to Peter Robinson with his Ulster Resistance beret? How would people be comfortable even very recently going to meet Emma Little Pengelly, whose father was a loyalist, who held an advice centre in a band hall, which in very recent times has sent out marching bands to honour members of the UDA. How would people be comfortable doing that? How can you be so critical of Chris Hazard if you're not critical of people within your own party?
Well, because, Frank, all of those elected representatives have offices which simply have their name, the logo of the relevant institution, be it Westminster and the Assembly, and the logo of their party on their office. In fact, the rules forbid anyone from naming a centre, an advice centre, in any other shape or form. So they're not designed to intimidate and to discourage people from going along. But also to stick up a sign in the middle of a community where two individuals had actually inflicted terror on that community is designed to do one thing, discourage ordinary Catholics and the unionist community from setting foot through it. It's blatant, it's totally unnecessary, and it's paid for by the taxpayer. And none of those apply, of course, to the other people you've mentioned who are just law-abiding, hard-working constituency representatives who have never been affiliated to any terrorist organisation.
Yes, but Jim, do you criticise the Reverend William McRae for sharing that platform that night with Billy Wright?
I have very little recollection of it. It's a long time ago.
Well, let me remind you, Billy Wright was one of the greatest killers that this country's ever had. Yep. And during the protests in Portadown, one of your MPs shared a platform with him, sitting beside him in a chair. So do you criticise your MP for doing that?
No, I'm not going to criticise William, because like William at the time was arguing it was a freedom of speech issue. He made it clear that it wasn't support of Billy Wright. But what I would criticise...
Yes, but he was alongside Billy Wright, supporting yes. Billy Wright. And Billy Wright yes. killed more people than either McNulty or McGorian.
Well, not so certain, but McNulty, to be honest...
OK, let's not fall out over how many each person killed. But if you're criticising Hazard for being associated with McNulty and McGorian, then we would expect you to criticise William McRae for being associated with Billy Wright.
And I won't do that but what I would do is if had any of our public representatives named any of their advice centres paid for from the taxpayer after a terrorist, alive or dead, I would immediately criticise them. That's the issue. The issue is the commemoration and the glorification of terrorists, and that's what's happening in Castlewellan. And this is from someone who says he's representing the entire community. You can't represent the unionist community when you commemorate someone who was murdering members of the unionist community.
Well, let me put another one to you. If Emmy Little Pengelly is having an advice centre at a band hall in Ballinafay, instead of having it where everyone who is indeed a constituent of her as an MP could go to, do they not feel ostracised? Do they not feel left out? Do they not feel marginalised? They certainly don't want to go to a band hall that sends out banners and marching bands to honour people who were in the UDA in the past.
Well, what I can say is Emma Pengelly has offices and advice surgeries all over South Belfast to cater for the entire community, including her main office, which is situated neutral territory and which is simply named the Emma Pengelly Constituency Advice Centre, and anyone can walk into that. There's no paraphernalia, there's no terrorist commemoration or anything, so therefore they do have the option. But in Castlewellan, the only option that a member of the small Protestant minority would have in that town is to walk through the door above their heads commemorating two dead terrorists, and that's where this is totally unacceptable. And Hazard has made no attempt to explain this, and not only that, but his party leader opened centre. The band hall is not owned by the DUP. It's not an official advice centre in that sense. It's rented out on occasion when needed. But equally, there are many other facilities where people can go to in South Belfast.
It's only a year ago that Arlene Foster was in the eye of the storm, criticised over meeting top people within the UDA, just after, indeed, a murder had been carried out by a breakaway faction of the UDA. It's very difficult to argue what you're arguing against Chris Hazard if you're not prepared to look at the splinter, the plank in your own DUP eye.
Hey, can I assure you, Frank, if you go down to Enniskillen and you visit Arlene Foster's office, there will be no paramilitary trappings, there will be no signs commemorating dead terrorists. It's a neutral centre of town environment where anybody, nationalist, Roman Catholic, Protestant, Unionist, Loyalist, can attend with absolutely no feeling of discomfiture. The problem is that this is a shrine, this is a commemoration to two dead terrorists who had killed many people in the Castlewellan area. And unfortunately, you've heard what the suffering and pain they've caused to people like Sammy Heenan, who lost his father when he was only 12. And I'll remember to my dying day, standing with Sammy against the gable wall of his house, talking to him the day he lost his father. That's what we're talking about, not band halls. We're talking about bloodthirsty killers who are being commemorated, eulogised and honoured on the front of this office. And it's taxpayers' money. Sinn Féin can do whatever they like with their own office if they have an administration centre in Castle Wellen and they decide to do this, it'll cause enormous offence, but it's not your money and mine. This is a public building which has to be available to all. And I would wonder how many members of the unionist community have sat foot in that office in the 2 weeks it's been opened when they see what's above the door.
So really what you're saying is you can cozy up to or liaise with terrorists as long as you don't put their names above the door.
It's a lot more than that, Frank. We're not cozying up. Yes, I accept that our public representatives when they're out in the community at times meet people who are representatives of the community that they wouldn't support. There's a world of difference between that and eulogising, commemorating and putting up a sign to basically commemorate and celebrate two terrorists who are self-confessed. I mean, there's no doubt about this. These were two men who are out killing innocent people in the Castle Wellen South Down area. And what's the response from Sinn Féin? Put up a brand new sign commemorating them, name your office after them, and then ask your party leader in her first public action in Northern Ireland after she was elected, bring her up to open it, cut the ribbon and smile as you stand below a sign that's saying we commemorate and honour the memory of two men who were murderers in South Down.
Jim Wells, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim Wells, MLA for South Down. Your opinions are very welcome indeed. As I say, we did invite Sinn Féin to take part in the discussion, but as yet, no one has been available. Good morning to you. If you've just switched on, you're very welcome. And let me speak to Jordy, who's on line two. Good morning, Jordy.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Very well, sir. Very well. What's on your mind?
Frank, I was listening to your chat there with Jim Wells. And I was just thinking to myself that Jim was putting forward a very good point, and he was putting it forward in a very good way. I think he's totally justified to be disgusted about the actions of Sinn Féin naming their office after two dead terrorists, not martyrs, terrorists. Also, just like to tell you that I have a bit of respect for yourself. I think you're a very intelligent guy, quite witty. However, this morning, I think you have let yourself down a bucket full. You refused point blank to condemn the naming of that office after those two terrorists.
No, Jordy, let me stop you there. Let me stop you there, Jordy. It's not my job to condemn anything that's going on in Northern Ireland. It's my job to ask relevant questions of the relevant people. My opinion on what I condemn or what I support is totally irrelevant. So I simply ask questions of Jim Wells or any other contributor that are suitable questions directed towards Jim Wells. I'm quite sure if you heard it all, you also heard my interview with Sammy Heenan, who was left an orphan at the hands of the IRA. The line of questioning with Mr. Heenan was entirely different because the questions that were relevant to Mr. Heenan were a different style of question than the questions that were directed at Mr. Wells.
Unfortunately, Frank, I did not hear that interview with Sammy Heenan. However, look at the state of Northern Ireland at the minute. Look at the political situation. And we're still putting terrorist names above doorways. We need to get this behind us. It needs to be condemned by everyone, Frank. Anyone who's right-thinking. Elected representatives take on a role to elect everyone of their constituency, irrespective of their background, political opinion, or whatever else. There should be the naming of an office after dead terrorists. Basically, Frank, it should fall under something like a Flags and Emblems Act. It's offensive. It is offensive. We don't want to see this. We don't need to be reminded of these people who inflicted injury and death on our society.
Jordy, thank you. You know, your feedback is richly appreciated. Thank you very much. You are saying practically exactly the same as Mr. Heenan said when he spoke to us a little earlier in the programme. Sammy Heenan, who was left an orphan at the age of 12 years of age, where his mother had already died and the IRA came into his home and shot his father in front of him. And Sammy said things very similar to yourself, Jordy, before we spoke to Jim Wells. I did challenge Jim Wells in relation to the history of the DUP, and maybe that's what annoyed you. Let's see if it pleased or annoyed Henry. Henry, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, Henry.
It's just when you said about Billy Wright being the biggest murderer that there ever has been,
Well, he was one off.
Yes, he has never been charged with any murders, or he's never been convicted for any murders.
You think maybe he was innocent?
He wasn't innocent. He took part in the conflict, like any lawless would do. But no one's ever convicted him. And people are just going to be saying, oh, he's the biggest murderer for this and that and the other thing. He's never been convicted. They said he was involved in a murder. He was sitting in his own house, speaking to an inspector for the RGC when that murder happened. Yet it was all put over the place that Billy caused it.
Henry, you used a line there where you said he took part in the conflict like any loyalist would.
Yeah.
Do you really believe in your heart of hearts that loyalism should be proud of Billy Wright?
Yes.
And do you believe that an MP should have sat on a platform, a DUP MP, in support of Billy Wright?
It wasn't in support of Billy Wright, it was in support of the other people who was there.
Well, if you're sharing a platform with people at a demonstration that is putting a point across which is specific, the people on the platform are not there to argue with each other, they're there to support each other. And that's what I put to Jim Wales in relation to other examples of the DUP at times being seen to cozy up to those who'd be described as terrorists. And the reason that I put that to Jim Wales is because he's criticising, understandably, for huge numbers of people, he's putting that at the door of Chris Hazard, if you excuse the pun, because of what Chris Hazard has put above his door, honouring people who are described as terrorists, Peter McNulty and Paul McGorian, who indeed very, very many people totally understandably will describe as terrorists.
Oh yes, people would support him 100%. It's his area, and he's quite readily to put his names of anybody he wants to put up.
But is he? This is the whole point, Henry. Is he? This is the reason that we're discussing this morning. Is an MP who's supposed to represent all of the people in the constituency with regards to parliamentary procedures and parliamentary business and duties and their problems and their worries and their concerns, is an MP entitled to put the names of two terrorists above his door?
Well, he thinks it's right, but 90% of the people, probably less, would say no, it's not right, because, as you say, he's supposed to represent the whole community, not just one section of it.
Okay, Henry, thank you. Jim has a point as well. He's on line one. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, Jim.
Frank, no, well, basically, I just don't agree with it. I just think it's not a very nice thing to do in the modern day environment that we're trying to create in Northern Ireland. Yes, the IRA and the Republican movement maybe want to glorify and commemorate and remember their dead, but I don't think it's right that it should be placed in their offices, and full signs up. I mean, I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But I just think, and then Chris Hazard and Sinn Féin have certainly did the wrong thing, basically, if they're trying to reach out to the Protestants in Northern Ireland, and saying that they keep talking about shared space and diversity and things like that there. I just feel that, I just think it's a step in the wrong direction, basically. Yes, they might want to celebrate and do this, do that, and other about who they see as freedom fighters or whatever they want. But, you know, to my community, you know, they were terrorists and they murdered people. But they shouldn't put it up there, you know. Yes, if they want to put a plaque inside, out of view or whatever, to celebrate it, where it's not seen. But I just think it's going the wrong direction. I think Mary Lou, I can't remember her name, I just think the whole Sinn Féin leadership need to just ensure that they try and embrace the Protestant community rather than reject them and push them out of the way. And things like this here and throwing terrorism in their face, you know, for guys who murdered people. So I just think the Sinn Féin leadership are an absolute disgrace at the minute. You know, they're pointing the finger at everything, the DUP, it's all their fault about the breakdown of the talks and now this. I can't work both ways. They both need to take up the ante and start sharing things and work together for the whole of the communities in Northern Ireland. You know, I could say more, but I don't want to. But I just don't disagree. I just don't agree with that. That's all I'd like to say. You know, Frank.
No, I appreciate you coming on, Jim. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Thomas is on this line. Morning, Thomas. Good morning, Thomas. Well, he's not going to be on that line, so he might be on this one. Let's see if he's coming through loud and clear. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Very well. Go ahead.
Good morning. Now, Frank, I think it just sort of highlights some of the stupid things that are happening at the minute. We're listening to people whinging and crying about Gregory Campbell saying curry may yogurt and that it's offensive to a certain set of community. And because I can tell you what, see a Sinn Féin, one of my local representatives, standing and saying that an IRA sectarian murderer in North Belfast is a hero and who killed members of our families and our friends, and saying that he's a hero, that's a hell of a lot more offensive than what the likes of Gregory Campbell would say about the Irish language. And I think people should remember, at the end of the day, Frank, you yourself belong to an organisation that commemorates IRA and NLA sectarian murderers. So I think you should be a wee bit more worried about the conversation you're having about the UP, or I have no problem.
Yeah, just before we go any further, just remind me which organisation I'm a member of.
GAA.
I'm a member of the Gaelic Athletic Association. I absolutely am, and the Gaelic Athletic Association does not honour IRA murderers.
Well, how do you work that out, Frank? Is there not tournaments and teams and things named after IRA and NLA terrorists and murderers?
At a local level, this does happen, and it's argued at a local... Now, let me finish here. Let me finish. At a local level, it is argued that those people are from that area, and clubs have been called after them, or small trophies have been called after them, or pitches have been called after them. But that is not a directive from the Gaelic Athletic Association. I've been in the Gaelic Athletic Association since I was like 7 years old, and that's the best part of who's coming up on 48 to 50 to 50 years. I have never, ever in all my time in the Gaelic Athletic Association seen a political point being made, been at a political rally, been associated with a political event, been involved in a political controversy, and I have seen the development of the GAA over the time that I've been there from being beyond the pale with some of the rules they had to moving into this modern era, galloping into this modern era and providing an excellent outlet for young people the length and breadth of the island of Ireland. That's the Gaelic Athletic Association that I'm a member of.
Well, Frank, I'm a member of Northern Ireland Football Fans, and none of the sporting organisations in this country have none of the rugby, the football, the IFA or the FAI, none of them have any grounds, stadiums, teams and trophies named after UFF or IRA or UVF murderers. But you're the association that you belong to does. So, I mean, for you to make that brush, I mean, you can make a point about the Orange Order over the years and a loyalist band walking in an Orange parade, and because they maybe commemorate one of their members who was in the UVF or the UFF who get killed by the IRA or the British Army or the police, and you will make that broad brush statement about the Orange Order. So, I mean, you can't sort of walk away from the fact that you are in an organisation that has teams and stuff like that that are named after IRA and NLA volunteers. And as I say,
Thomas, just on that, isn't it interesting that one of the trophies that you're probably making reference to is, for example, the Bobby Sands Cup? The Bobby Sands Cup is presented to the winning captain of a soccer team. So does that reflect on association football in Northern Ireland if young players are playing a soccer tournament for the Bobby Sands Cup? Or does that reflect locally on the area that honoured Bobby Sands and ran a competition and presented a cup to the winning captain? It doesn't reflect on the IFA, the fact that the Bobby Sands Cup is for soccer.
Well, the IFA, if somebody's not in the local level, I mean, I've never, ever heard of that. So that's new information to me. And that club shouldn't be allowed to be in that competition, because if it was named the Lanny Murphy Cup, I don't think anybody would be sort of as calm about it as you and making that statement. You would be disgusted and outraged at anybody if it was named after Lanny Murphy, Bobby Sands, or any IRA gunman or UVF gunman. Do you know what I mean? So I have no problem with anybody commemorating, because I go to commemorations for UFF and UVF volunteers that I knew, and I have no problem with Sinn Féin doing it. I'm not going to be two-faced about it, and I have no problem with anybody defending, and I will defend Sinn Féin going to commemorations at a personal level. But as an MP, an MEP, an MLA, or a councillor who you're meant to be representing within your area, for you to come out and publicly make an office to be named after an IRA sectarian murderer, as would, because I'll tell you what.
Okay, need to be brief on it, Thomas.
See if Nigel Dodd's done it in Ballysillan or where I live, and they've done it for a UFF or a UVF volunteer. Even if I knew that person, I would be saying it was an absolute disgrace as well.
Okay. Thanks for your input. So this is Thursday morning already. How is the form with you? As I mentioned, Sinn Féin didn't agree to take part in our programme this morning. They did send us a statement saying the Sinn Féin Advice Centre in Castlewellan, which is currently being used as the constituency office by Chris Hazard MP, has been named after Peter McNulty and Paul McGorian for 25 years. Under the Good Friday Agreement, everyone, including Irish Republicans, have the right to remember their dead with dignity and respect. We speak to Jim, who's on this line. Jim, good morning.
Hey, doing, Frank?
I'm very well. Very good, Jim. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just want to tell you it's more about the Chris Hazard thing, right? First of all, I'm a nationalist. I'm proud of it. I live in the north of Ireland, not Northern Ireland, which is not a country. Anyway, people are too willing to say the IRA terrorists. The IRA, to me, was a freedom fighter force to free Ireland, get rid of the Brits, and to protect nationalists from what happened in 68, 69. And as far as I'm concerned, the RUC and the British Army and the UDR are terrorist organisations backed up by the political masters in England, and that's it. People would like what I'm saying, but I'm pulling punches, Frank.
Yeah, well, obviously you don't, Jim. You don't. But the point is, you know, we're talking about Chris Hazard's constituency office, which is in Castlewellan, and it has the names of two members of the IRA who were killed, one by his own bomb, one by the British Army, above the door. This has caused controversy because an MP should be there for everyone, not just for people who would be Republican or people who have been supporting the IRA. Now, you say about these guys were doing this in 68, 69, 70, I think they were killed in 72 and 74, to free Ireland, to help the oppressed. The reality is, Jim, they killed, not specifically these two individuals above the door, the IRA killed innocent Catholic people in the Castlewellan, Newcastle area. They killed innocent Catholic people in the Newry, Warren Point area. They destroyed premises and businesses belonging to innocent Catholic people in South Down. And I'm saying innocent Catholic people because we know they absolutely did it to innocent Protestant people. But we should be reminding ourselves of who they killed, who they maimed, who they bombed while they were doing what you said they were doing when you mentioned pulling no punches. They were killing all round them innocent men, women and children. Should we be honouring people like that above a door in a public premises in a county downtown?
Well, Frank, as far as I'm concerned, if the British Army wasn't here, this trouble wouldn't be upon us. You know, and it wasn't the Catholics that burnt houses out in 68 and 69. And the British Army came here to quell civil unrest, not to protect the nationalist community. Some sick of people saying they came here to protect the nationalists. They didn't. They came here because the mighty RUC was brought to its knees by rioters, right? And then the Brits came in here to quell civil unrest. And if you watch the Squaddies last night, that programme, the Squaddies, even the head of the army here says the soldiers won't be welcomed in the streets for too long. He knew what was going to happen. And one more thing before I go. Do you see they don't get Brexit right? It's going to cause demonstrations in the border area. And the town areas, that's going to bring crowds out in the streets, and the same thing could happen all over again. Brexit is a big problem. It's facing us right now.
Okay, Jim, I feel uplifted now that we've had this conversation. Dear, oh dear. But, you know, Jim represents a lot of people who think that maybe we are going to hell in a handcart. Right, it's 22 minutes to 11. Hugh's on this line. Good morning, Hugh.
Morning, Morning, Frank. You hear me okay?
I'm hearing you good. Go ahead, Hugh.
Frank, a brighter note of